Ward 8 residents expressed frustration with Mayor Muriel Bowser's new anti-cramp plan that they say targets their community without helping it. Also, protesters give Saudi Arabia's king an unroyal welcome at the White House. All that and more coming up. And welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment. This is the On the Ground edition for September 10th, 2015 on 89.3 WPFW, your Pacifica listener-powered station for jazz and justice in the nation's capital. On the Ground and onthegroundshow.org are devoted to coverage of social justice activists and activism here in the DMV, the nation, and around the planet. I'm Esther Avam, and I'm joined in the studio today by Gio Rissanelli on the boards, on the wheels of steel. So today we're going to go to Southeast D.C. to hear voices at a town hall on community policing held Tuesday night. And in the second half, we'll get your comments on the plan by Mayor Bowser to add more police to the streets and to target formerly incarcerated individuals for, well, some feel is surveillance, keeping tabs on them. So as always, we have a lot for you in this less than an hour, but we'll start with our headlines. A coalition of groups organized by Code Pink greeted Saudi Arabia's King Salman's first visit to Washington with protests and calls for him to stop bombing attacks on Yemen, which have already killed 4,000 civilians and caused a vast humanitarian crisis with hundreds of thousands in danger of starvation and in need of basic humanitarian relief. Here are voices from that protest.
Stop bombing Yemen! Stop bombing Yemen! Stop bombing Yemen! Stop bombing Yemen! Hey, King Salman, what do you say? How many bombs did you drop today? Hey, King Salman, what do you say? How many bombs did you drop today?
We must stop this criminal. King Salman is a war criminal who has killed the Yemeni people. 4,000 Yemenis have been killed by the Saudi. King Salman has murdered 4,000 Yemeni civilians using cluster bombs.
Free, free Raif Badawi!
Raif Badawi
is a blogger. All he did was use his free speech. And for that, he got sentenced to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes by the barbaric Saudi regime. Free, free Raif Badawi!
We call on you, Mr. Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, of the nation that values those same ends Yemenis are striving for today. Number one, put an end to this illegal, immoral war led by the coalition in Saudi Arabia against the people of Yemen. Two, put an end to the illegal, immoral land, air, and sea blockade of the people of Yemen and provide immediate humanitarian relief to 27 million Yemeni civilians. Three, open up an international investigation into the war crimes and support for terrorism committed by all parties to this conflict. That clearly is a concerned American citizen. Thank you very much.
So what brought you out here today?
Well, the importance of standing up and not being silent in the face of injustice. Saudi Arabia is bombing in Yemen and killing people with the support of the U.S. Money and bombs. We're supporting Saudi Arabia, which violates human rights. it's important for people to speak up.
Okay. So what do you hope will come out of this protest today?
Well, awareness that not all people are in favor of what the U.S. government is doing in solidarity with Saudi Arabia.
This is an offensive, illegal war in violation of international law. In addition to that, he funds groups like Al-Qaeda. He funds groups like ISIS. These are horrible things. You know, we have our president, we have Congress, ISIS, and we're helping, giving weapons and money and support and legitimacy to a government that's funding ISIS.
Stop bombing Yemen! Stop bombing Yemen! Stop bombing Yemen!
According to news reports, King Salman brought out the entire Four Seasons Hotel in Georgetown for his visit, the first since taking over the helm of that country in January. And financial analysts reported that the visit signaled that with the current world oil glut, due in part to fracking in this country, we are not as dependent on Saudi oil. Speaking of fuel and energy, DC Sun, one of the organizations that defeated Exelon's bid to take over Pepco, is urging the public to attend the next meeting of the DC Public Service Commission 1 week from now. DC Sun urges you to join them September 17th in front of the Wilson Building at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue to tell Muriel Bowser to stand her ground against Chicago-based energy giant Exelon as it tries to breathe new life into its nearly dead bid to take over Pepco. Last month, D.C. scored a big victory when the Public Service Commission unanimously rejected Exelon's attempt to take over Pepco. Their decision made it clear that this merger is not in the public interest, but D.C. Sun says the fight is not quite over. Exelon has indicated that they will try to push their bad deal through. And DC Sun says in response that a key step for Exelon would be for them to reach a backroom deal with Mayor Bowser and the DC Council government. And they don't want that to happen. So that's next Thursday at noon. Join them in front of the Wilson Building. Even since the August 24th vote by the commission, hundreds of letters have been sent to Mayor Bowser urging her to stand firm. And the organization Power DC has also posted an online letter on their website that you can sign and send to Mayor Bowser and the DC Council, thanking them and urging them to stand firm for energy future here in the district. Moving to Baltimore, the Baltimore Legal Action Team, which has organized in response to the uprising in that city, has released a community information sheet explaining the difference between the criminal case against six Baltimore police officers and the $6.4 million civil settlement that the city of Baltimore has just reached with the family of Freddie Gray, the young black man who died in police custody earlier this year with his spine 80% severed at the neck. Among the highlights of the report is that there is a pretrial hearing scheduled for today. The report is on the website of Baltimore United for Change. The pretrial hearing scheduled for today will concern whether the trial will be removed from Baltimore and whether the officers and the prosecutor's office can get a fair trial due to the publicity of the case. And next, finally, in our culture and media moment, the Academy Award-winning director Michael Moore is preparing his new film. He's actually premiering his new film titled What Country Should We Bomb Next? Today at the Toronto Film Festival in Canada. In a Periscope broadcast made in July, Moore told his fans that the film explores how the U.S. government maintains a state of infinite war to feed the military-industrial complex. This is his first film in 6 years, and it was made in secret because of his concerns over government surveillance of him and his work. Another documentary, Welcome to Leith, which follows the attempt of a white supremacist to take over a North Dakota town and turn it into a racist utopia, begins its theatrical release today at the IFC Theater in Manhattan. The film, called Chilling and like a real-life horror movie, showed here in the DMV at the Maryland Film Festival and at the AFI Docs Festival in Silver Spring. No date posted right now for its return to theaters here. And director Stanley Nelson is scheduled to speak at a special screening of his film, The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, next Wednesday at the Charles Theater in Baltimore before appearing here in D.C. next weekend. The film opens in both cities next Friday. Here is sound from the trailer for The Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution.
The Black Panthers.
Black Panther.
The Black Panther Party.
Black Panther Movement.
The Black Panthers were absolutely unique.
being black in America meant that you didn't walk down the street with the same sense of safety and the sense of privilege as a white person. Attack dogs, fire hoses.
Police jump on you, beat you up, put the gun at your head. This is what we were going through on a daily basis.
We stand on the eve of a black revolution, brothers.
Now we have voices within the community that we're not going to continue to turn the other cheek.
The Second Amendment guarantees the citizen a right to bear arms on public property.
We're going
to
carry our guns and we're going to follow the police. We're going to maintain a legal distance, ready to throw down if necessary.
Anyone who would approve of this kind of demonstration must be out of their mind.
Stop yourself! That's what I need!
These racist Gestapo pigs have to stop brutalizing our community or we're going to drive them out.
The majority of the rank and file are women.
We tried to change some of the clear gender roles. Women had guns and men cooked breakfast for children.
The way we walk and talk and dress, we were a phenomenon.
Swing the legs!
The Black Panthers really understood the media. They used us to their advantage.
Chairman of the Black Panther Party, and here he is.
They tap the phone. The phone is probably hooked up to the White House.
You read the Black Panther Party newspaper?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because I'm black and I'm proud.
The FBI wanted to destroy the Panthers.
How about justice? Justice is incidental to law and order.
This was all-out attack on the Black Panther Party. Every significant office is going to be raided, bombed, shot, mass arrests.
They were coming to kill us.
When the 15-minute gun battle was over, two Black Panthers were dead.
This was obviously a political assassination.
It was like a slaughterhouse.
We were doing fundraisers at places like Jane Fonda's townhouse so that we could raise money for the Legal Defense Fund.
There were 156 not guilty verdicts. It was astonishing.
We don't hate nobody because of their color. We hate oppression.
We refer to ourselves as the vanguard. We wanted the entire community to follow.
I feel free. I feel absolutely free. You understand? That's what I feel.
In D.C., Black Panthers Vanguard of the Revolution will be opening next Friday at the East Street Cinema. And those are our headlines and happenings. When we come back, D.C. voices on the community and the police. Stay with us. The first of three town hall meetings on police community relations in D.C. was held Tuesday night at Allen Chapel AME Church in Southeast. The meetings, sponsored by the ACLU of the nation's capital, along with other community organizations, are occurring after Mayor Muriel Bowser just unveiled a controversial new policing plan that she said was designed to address a spike of violence in the city. On the ground was on hand to capture voices of some of those in attendance, the Reverend Joseph Evans, pastor of Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Northwest D.C., Tyrone Parker, okay, founder of the Alliance of Concerned Men, and Eugene Puryear of the Stop Terror Project, and also he's also of WPFW in this time slot on Tuesdays. And we're going to go to those voices in a minute, but we're just going to take a little break again, and while we find those voices for you. So we're back, and as I said before the break, we were on hand in Southeast D.C. on Tuesday night to capture some of the voices at the town hall, including the Reverend Joseph Evans, pastor of Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Northwest D.C., Tyrone Parker, founder of the Alliance of Concerned Men, and Eugene Puryear of the Stop Police Terror Project, and also of WPFW, and this time slot on Tuesdays. Here are their voices.
The pastor of Mount Carmel
Washington. Thank you. And I'm pleased to be here tonight. And anytime I stand publicly, I am on record as the leader of that institution, which is a civil rights church. And I am very careful about what I stand for and what I will not stand to say. But in this instance, it is very important that I do so. I believe the issue at hand is gentrification. We do not use the word, oftentimes, depending on what company I'm in, if I say the word gentrification, they taboo me as though, oh, that's not it. You know, people who have power can determine what is, in their minds, reality. The truth is our communities are suffering because of gentrification. Gentrification, let's say that is the word, and underneath that, let's list the word race, economics, and politics. Hello. The Du Boisian model. The Souls of Black Folk was about race, economics, and politics. Let's first talk about gentrification as economics. This city must, whether it is the council, whether it is the mayor, whether it is the economic development community, which should participate in what I'm to say, there has to be a reallocation of monies, large sums of money, towards 7 and 8 in particular, in order to bring equity to those who have been ostracized, marginalized, and taken away from the system. In other words, they can't get in the game. Now, when we start talking like this, there are a lot of people on the other side, some liberal people, who are with you until you start talking about the money. There has to be equity in the money. Workforce development, we got kids, if folks are murdering folks between 16 and 24, and then the unemployment rate is comparative between 16 and 24, it does not take a very, very intelligent person to figure out that that's where we need to start. Everybody's not going to college. And everybody should not have to be a resident of this city and to make a living. We need our city council, led by the chair, led by subcommittee chairs, to show us the money. We got to have the money. And they need to not tell anybody they don't have the money. They have plenty of money. Now, if unemployment decreases, that means little Johnny, little Sally has a job, that means they're paying taxes. That means the debt comes down. It pays for itself. We need to have that. Let me hurry up because I'm about to persecute. Let me say gentrification. Please remember, gentrification means economics, race, and politics. Now, we are not the majority vote anymore. We cannot win by just going and voting. I know we got the civil rights bill. We all should vote. People got bit by dogs. We all understand that. We all should vote. But voting alone is not going to change it. We need to go to the court. It has to be something in the courts that forces the city to reinvest in the people. So all you lawyers in here, I want you to get busy. Now, finally, my time is up. But it comes down to the black body. The black body. Now people don't say that, but that's what we're talking about. We're talking about disrespect for the black body that we are not in 2015. The Civil War been over officially since April 4th, 1865, something, whatnot, et cetera, et cetera. And do you know we are still fighting to be recognized as human and equality? But you don't have to believe me. We had a great theologian, I think her name was Billie Holiday. She said, southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves. black bodies swinging in the sudden breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. And it took me a long time to realize that poplar trees in the South are really weeping willows. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to stand up together as a community and say that we want the money. It's the money. And we know that they have it, and we want some of it so that our people can be treated as equal citizens under the law, under the Constitution of the United States. Thank you for your time, and thank you for listening.
But my son was killed over the Christmas catering by two guys just happened to shoot at each other. You know, but at the same time, as looked at what could we do to be able to help to circumvent this. And even while having the background that we had, we understood that it was up to us as an organization to begin to make a difference. We are the previously incarcerated population that have basically been on the front line of almost every major public safety initiative. And we have made the difference in regard to a comprehensive approach. If you do not have the previously incarcerated organizations involved in this transformation of our public safety, then it will not work. This is my perspective on it. This group of men and women are the silver bullet to be able to make the transformation in our community. They are one of the few individuals that have the compassion and the determination to go into these communities with the heart of saying, I will make a difference. It is never a period with this particular population. It is always a common. And we will always be there to help navigate our kids through these trials and these challenging moments that they are confronted with. We must keep in mind that this population who can and will make a difference have not been brought to the table. In fact, they have the audacity to say that we are the perpetrators of this violence that's occurring. When those who have been the heroes and the champions in regard to transformation are man titled as the perpetrators. And to them, to a very sad point, so many of our citizens are beginning to entertain this as a practicality. The same individuals that have basically went into these communities to make a significant difference over a long period of time is now being titled as the perpetrators. The Alliance of Concerned Men has been on it for 25 years with our kids at their points, working with them, helping the transformation, and have some extraordinary stories to be able to say about what they have did pertaining to the transformation of their lives and who they are and where they are now. Spotlight what was did and how it was did. We understand that there may be some challenges in regard to our population, but let us be the ones to go into these communities to navigate these kids out of it. Let us be the ones to be able to draw the line of defense. Give us the opportunity to protect out, because we are a third believer that the solution is in the problem. If you do not have the problem there to help it circumvent it, you won't get a solution. This is my spirit. This is the Alliance of Concerned Men. This is the return to citizen spirit. You have got to entertain the eye, the spirit that our population, the return of citizens, must play a part in regard to the transformation. We must be at the table so that we can be inclusive of these decisions. Don't wait till the end of the day. Put us in there from the beginning. I thank you all for your time. And to God.
Is, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, where the quote-unquote Black Lives Matter movement stands on this issue and who we're divided from and who we are with. And I just want to say from the outset, we completely reject that. Just from Jump Street. You know, there are some people who want to make this about, is it the victims of community violence versus the Black Lives Matter movement? That's not what we want to make it about. We want to make it about what this issue is, the serious issue of community violence, and the things that we are saying have to be done to fix these problems. We are people who are in Ward 8. You know, Skyler, who's here with us, is in Ward 8. She lives in Wallet Place. Chioma with Black Lives Matter TV, she's in Ward 7. So, you know, we're around here. Stuart Anderson is a returning citizen. I work with him. Tyrone Parker, Rose Brown, those are my mentors. So it is not as much space as some people like to put in there. But what I want to say from our perspective is, you know, our view, and the whole reason we call ourselves the Stop Police Terror Project, right, is that every 28 hours a black person is killed by a police officer, security guard, or vigilante. And so that's why we call it terrorism, because it's so frequent. But that being said, you know, we recognize that there's a whole dimension to the violence that's perpetrated in our communities. And our entire purpose of coming together, as many people know, was around, yes, the issue of police murders. And we said that we're going to take up this issue because, unfortunately, there are many black men in prison for killing other black men and doing negative things. There are almost no police officers in prison for killing black people. So that's why we came together on that one issue. But we don't want to abstract it and take it away from the context of everything happening in the community. And the thrust, the whole underlying reality of what we're saying is that policing just inherently is abandoned. That we have communities like where we live here, you know, Congress Heights, all over Ward 8, Ward 7, that for 30 or 40 years have been completely and absolutely neglected economically, socially, culturally, physically, and concentrated as the, no, the type of this city has changed. It used to be the Chocolate City. Now it's changed. So many of the things, so many of our issues are concentrated into a smaller geographic area. And when you have all of those things happening at one time, there is no doubt that the accumulated trauma and problems and joblessness or whatever you want to point to, we can sit here all night and talk about all the problems, are going to create a lot of very negative social consequences. And at the end of the day, the police and prisons are just a band-aid, a way to control it, not to stop it. And I understand that there are those who say, including the mayor, but you know she's 100% on our side, but the whole point of what we're saying is that for 30 years we said more police officers, more cops, tougher prison sentences, and look at where it's gotten us. With 2 million people in prison, 7 million if you include people on parole or probation, the unbelievable consequences of, in a place like this where you really have 50% unemployment, if 20% of those people have criminal records and can't get a job, you know, it gets even deeper than just what the numbers say. Our communities have been completely divided and completely distorted, and the whole problem from our perspective with this plan is it just keeps driving that wedge into our community. It makes it impossible for us to heal, impossible for us to rebuild, which is why in March, when maybe some of us knew, there already was an uptick in murders. We were talking about this in March. And Tyrone, you were one of the people who was supporting us. And we went to the council and we said, we said at that time, $3 million that they wanted to get from our police officers. Give it to the community, allow us to build up and institutionalize, work with the Alliance for Concerned Men, work with the ceasefires, work with the people who have been in the streets doing others every day, looking to put together solutions for how we keep the peace and mediate it. Because when we get to the summer, if we don't, it's going to get out. And what happened? And now we've come back around, come full circle, and now that something has happened, they didn't want to deal with it on front end. Now that something has happened, it's the fault of returning citizens. And at the end of the day, we think this is a completely the wrong way to go. We want to see a surge of community, not of police. We want to see this city institutionalized, black people policing ourselves to the degree possible and taking care of our own problems, which has a history in this city, so we have to look at that as well. And we also have to say that so-called long-term solutions are not long-term. People need jobs, they need housing, they need mental health care, they need all of these things right now. And you can't say that you have a comprehensive crime strategy without one detail about how you're going to deal with any of that. You can't say you have a comprehensive crime strategy that is comprehensive, yet 98% of it deals with expanding police powers. And I would sit down and say this. You know, every time I hear the chief speak, and honestly, this is what's so frustrating to me, she says, well, we know who's doing it. We know who's doing it. It's just these few violent criminals. Well, if you know who's doing it, so well, why do you need extra police powers? It doesn't make any sense. And then you look at the website, and they say, oh, well, you know, it's been 100 incidents, 100-odd incidents, and we got 60 people arrested. So you got arrested 60% of the cases, and you still need more police powers? It just shows from the beginning that none of it has anything to do with stopping crime. None of it has anything to do with looking good at the PR and giving the police more tools to really erode our rights, as Seema was saying. I mean, I'll close with this. You know, people who come home from prison oftentimes don't, and y'all know this, oftentimes are not going to live in one place. You're going to live in multiple places. So the police are saying, well, we're going to have the right to search these people in their homes on probation and parole. Now, think about that. So say they see me, you know, they think I'm involved in something, I'm on parole or probation. And they say, oh, you know, I saw Eugene, you know, the student says, oh, you know, I saw Eugene living with Ron. I lived with Ron for one day. So it's, oh, I seen him living with Kimono. Oh, I seen him over there with Tyrone. And maybe Kimono is also, you know, on probation, so he can be searched too. So now, even though I only stayed there for one night apiece, they can go into their house any time they want, 24/7, without a warrant, and search their house and look for whatever, and use it as an excuse to go after Kimono and say, well, I know that he might not be, I want to look at him. But when I look at Eugene, I know since he's on parole or probation right now, I can use his staying there for one night as an excuse to go in there and toss Kimono's house. So it's not just the violent criminals, quote unquote. It's not just the people on parole or probation. All of this plan is going to open up in a major way almost huge portions of us in this city. And what's going to happen? People are going to start telling their friends and family when they come home, you can't stay with me because I don't want to deal with any of that. You can't stay with me because I don't want the police in my house. And then what is that? It further divides our community. So I apologize that I talked for a little bit up here. But, you know, I'm worked up about it because it's a key issue. It's an important issue. When we say Black Lives Matter, and I know you're going to say something too from Black Lives Matter, Jamie, hopefully, you know, we mean all Black lives. The day before the mayor's press conference, some of us were in Congress Park. Were we not, Stu? At a vigil for community violence? With a Black Lives Matter theme? It was T-shirts, everything like that? They neglected to mention that.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition on 89.3 WPFW. I'm Esther Averam, and we just heard some voices of those who attended the first of three town hall meetings that the ACLU of the nation's capital is sponsoring to address policing and the community. Thanks to our intern, Brianna Rawlinson, for her reporting Tuesday night. When we come back, it's your turn. What do you think about the plan by Mayor Bowser to add more police to the streets and to target violent, formerly incarcerated individuals for what some people are calling surveillance? Some people are saying that this is violating their constitutional rights. It's not dealing with the root of the problem of violence and in our communities. You can call in at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893 to weigh in. Stay with us.
Down to this. In order to see things for what they are, for what it is. We still might not be free up in this piece or treated very equally as far as I can see. Hell no, we ain't all right.
Now all these press conferences, breaking news alert, this just in. While your government looks for a war to win, flames for the blame game, names where I begin. Walls closing and get some help to my kin. Who cares? By the rest of the Bush nation stares as the drama unfolds as we the people under the stairs. 50% of this son of a Bush nation is like hating on Haiti and setting up assassinations. Ask Pat Robinson, quiz him.
Smells like terrorism.
Racism in the news, still one-sided views. Saying white's fine food. Pray for the National Guard who be ready to shoot, because they be saying us blacks loot.
What is your boy, son of a Bush, doing? Nerd.
New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. New Orleans in the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no.
We ain't alright. In the morning, afternoon, and night.
Hell no!
Damn.
Now them fires, earthquakes, tsunamis, I don't mean to scare. Wasn't this written somewhere? Disgraces, all I be seeing is hurting black faces. Moved out to all them faraway places. Emergency state corpses, alligators, and snakes. Big difference between this haze and the diamonds on the VMAs. You better look what's really important, y'all, under the sun. Especially if you over 21. This ain't no TV show, ain't no video. This is really real. Beyond them same old keep it real. Quotes from the TV stars driving big rim cars. Streets be flooding me. No matter where you at, no gas. Driving is a luxury urgency.
That was Hell No, We Ain't All Right, but by Public Enemy here on 89.3 WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. I'm Esther Averam, and this is Thursday's Community Watch and Comment. And now it's your turn. We're talking about what you think about the plan by Mayor Bowser to add more police to the streets and to institute a program that will look particularly at formerly incarcerated individuals, people who have violence in their background, and this was actually, part of this was actually unveiled at a press conference earlier this week. There was a press conference with the mayor and police chief Kathy Lanier, and they put on display for reporters, and this is from a report from WJLA, they put on display for reporters more than 60 illegal guns police have seized in recent weeks as they announced they were about to attend a meeting called GunStat. And they explained GunStat as a program they've developed to target 50 people in D.C. with violent criminal records who are statistically most likely to shoot somebody. And this is based on this stat program. And the idea is to watch them closely, perhaps even find jobs for them, they said, but to make sure that they are in direct contact with the police, prosecution, and parole agencies who will monitor their behavior. The plan has run into opposition, including that of the former director of the American Civil Liberties Union in D.C. Johnny Barnes said that the program is a violation of the Constitution and may make D.C., quote-unquote, another Ferguson. He said they've paid their debt to society, they've served their time. Now you want to say, let's watch them every day. That's wrong. And so that is something that happened this week. And, of course, this happened after the mayor announced a wide-ranging $15 million plan, what she said would boost both community programs and police presence in response to the 43% spike in killings this year. And she said the plan includes financial incentives to keep police on the force, despite a looming retirement bubble, as well as legislation that would increase some penalties for violent crime and give police the power to search the residences of violent ex-offenders. And that was reported in the Washington Post. So anyway, 202-588-0893, if you'd like to weigh in on this issue today. I do have a couple of callers. Let me go to my first caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. Listening to all of this, it just made me wonder and think about...
Is this Rick?
Because, no, this is Jabari. Okay.
Jabari.
I'm wondering if these movements will hopefully this time start to understand that either you're in power or you're trying to plead with people who are in power. And we have basically decided that we're going to just plead to the people in power instead of take them out of power and don't have to plead to nobody. So I would hope out of these things that there's the recognition that we need to create an independent political movement. Eugene ran for office last year, and basically nobody voted for him.
He had quite a few votes.
No, people voted for him, but he came in sixth in his run. So from a statistical point of view, nobody voted for him, okay? So I'm not talking about just because a few people voted for him. I'm talking about out of all the votes, most of the people in D.C. did not vote, okay?
That's true. For that city council seat, there were more votes for, like undecided or a vote thrown away, like maybe people
That's people who, I'm saying most people don't go to the polls. The highest percentage of people who don't go to the polls are in Ward 7 and 8. That's why they don't get anything. So what we need to do is create a whole lot better sophisticated class of people, because just yelling and complaining doesn't get you anything when you refuse to vote, you refuse to go to hearings, you refuse to go to ANC meetings, you refuse to go to city council meetings, you don't know what's going down, you don't know your basic laws. We need massive political education, not from the theoretical point of view, but from the point of view that took place in Jackson, Mississippi, where Chuck Roy, the Mumbles group, decided we're going to take over the city council. And they put a 10-year plan in place to do it. Mm-hmm. So we need all of these activist groups to stop complaining and get to the table and say, we got a 10-year, 5-year plan to do, you know, we're going to put people in ANCs, we're going to put people in a city council, they're going to put 3 people on city council, and then we're going to take over the mayor, and we're going to run this thing the way we want to, and we don't have to ask nobody for nothing. And until people decide that they want to be in the power, they will not be in power. And if you're not in power, you don't call the shot.
Okay. Thank you, Jabari. Let's go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
3 people on city council, and then we're going to take over the mayor.
You're going to have to turn down your radio.
It's down.
Yeah. Actually, just turn it off and back off the receiver a little bit. Just say your first name and where you're calling from and give your comment.
My comment, my name is TJ. I'm calling in from the Baltimore area. Actually, I'm listening to your program, and it troubles me when we talk about the returning citizens. See what happened, being that I did return back in 1999. But if you're not mentally ready to help someone that just came out, you know, that becomes a stigma. And that's just my comment. You got to want to help these brothers and sisters that come out. You know, just like the brother said earlier, it's about learning. But some people can understand when you're trying to help them. Because having no money in your pocket really becomes a problem. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay, and thank you for sharing. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. We're talking about the plan, I guess actually a couple of plans announced by Mayor Muriel Bowser to address the spike in crime here in the district. And you can weigh in at 202-588-0893. We played comments from a town hall earlier this week. And one of the speakers who we played today, Eugene Perrier, he talked about how in many cases it seems that officials are trying to pit the Black Lives Matter movement activists against those in support of community policing or the victims of crime, when they're actually saying that no, we saying all Black Lives Matter and we care about all kinds of crime in our community, whether it's perpetrated by the police or by criminals in our neighborhood. And you may want to speak on that as well. 202-588-0893. Let's go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Rick.
Rick, oh, hi.
Yes, hi, and sorry you got me mixed up with someone else earlier. You know, it was the same tune. We live in a system that uses, that don't need all of the workers that they used to have for the cotton fields anymore. And the computers and robots that replace, if not all of them. And now, so what do you do with all those surplus workers? Well, you kill some, you put some in jail, you send some to fight unjust wars, you just outright starve them out because you can't do what the Nazis did or other people who tried to exterminate workers that they didn't need. And so that's what's going on. Yes, I think that Prayer made a good point, and I think that we should really listen to that point. But also we should know why and how these problems that we face are caused. They're caused by an economic system that does not care about anything but property. And that's what police are there to protect. They will kill, maim, or do whatever they can to make sure that you don't mess with the richest property.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
And thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for calling. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. I'm going to go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Gregory, Northwest D.C.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I just one thing I want to do is echo that first caller. He was absolutely right, especially in the District of Columbia. The population does not go to the polls to vote. People do not vote. You have a mayor who's in office who was voted by a minority of the voting population. And speaking of that, to this program that they want to do, it reminds me of a short story by Philip Dick. They made it into a movie with Tom Cruise called Minority Report.
Oh, wow.
And the funny thing about that is that story actually took place. It's a fictional story, but it actually took place in the District of Columbia. And in the story, what was happening was they were arresting people for crimes that they were about to do.
Right, pre-crime.
Right, which is crazy. I mean, it's very dangerous to even start going in that direction. You know, more police on the street is not the answer anyway. Because unless there's an officer standing outside of my house when I walk out my house to go to my car, I mean, I'm a goner anyway. You don't have that many police. That's not the answer. The answer is social. The answer is programs for young folks, jobs for young folks, jobs for older folks. That's where the answer lies. And, you know, better parenting classes, because parenting, I know it's not like it was when I came up.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Greg, from D.C. 202-588-0893 is the number to call. Let's go to my next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
My name is William, calling from Alexandria.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think you're accurate in this, this quote-unquote pre-crime thing. It's the most ridiculous thing. Someone in public office that would even attempt to bring something like that about should be removed from office immediately. That type of insult on the public, on the general public in which they serve, is the most disgraceful thing that we could ever think of. To monitor someone's behavior, literally following them, merely because at some point in time in their life they committed a crime. That is insane. I wonder who they intend to follow.
Well,
is this a racial thing, which is the basis of the country's look at crime, or how is that going to play out?
Well, you know, I was looking at that same report on WJLA, and it said that these 50 people accounted for more than 850 arrests. So it's based on the fact that these people have, I guess, committed a somewhat disproportionate number of crimes, or been arrested at least. We don't know. We all know that there's a difference between arrests and committing a crime. So
exactly.
that is one of the measures.
The notion that we need more police, again, is ridiculous. As far as people committing crimes, you know, that's going to happen in any society. And no matter what time period in the history of man that you're going to look at, there are people that commit crime. The difference is the people that commit crimes, there is a system of justice that we all adhere to that tries them, finds them innocent or guilty, and acts accordingly. When the police commit violent crimes, whether or not we can turn on the TV and watch a police officer murder someone, or watch a police officer murder someone and then plant evidence, there is no recourse. There is no system that holds that person accountable. So
okay.
A person committed a crime, citizen committed a crime, is not the issue. The issue is the police committing crimes and not being held accountable.
Okay, and thank you for that comment. We have a full bank of phones, so let me go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
It's Tom. I'm out in Catonsville, Maryland.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to encourage people to join the movement to stop hiring combat experienced military people into the police departments who have had battle experience, come right out of the military, onto the streets. They're ready to shoot, ask questions later. That's perfect in a combat situation. But we have to stop hiring these kinds of people because they're not trained or retrained or demilitarized. And with military equipment going into the police departments, they're being hired to shoot, to do snipering and use M16s and armored vehicles.
Okay.
So we have to stop that hiring practice.
So is there a website or a petition drive or something that you want to point us to?
We're working on that, and we'll be getting that out soon.
Okay, just make sure you let us know about it, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you for calling. 202-588-0893. Let's go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Freeman, D.C. I agree with most damn every caller so far, and the comments you played from the town hall, and I agree with much of what was said, but I'm thinking those are just dealing with symptoms of the problem. This is a systemic problem, of course, we know, but we keep dealing with the symptoms. We do need to have our own power, because the basic problem we're dealing with here is police killing black people, not police killing white people. For some reason, we missed that, you know, point. You know, they don't kill white people. This is deliberate. It's a part of a system. It's because we're in a system of racism, white supremacy, right, which is called named or quoted by Francis Quest Wilson repeatedly, but this is a larger system than that. But anyway, the point here I'm making is that we're dealing with the symptoms of this problem. We need to get black people from under white power, period.
Okay.
It's not to be personal towards individual white folks, but a white power structure or a white power system is what continues to not be dealt with, which is why we continue to have the same problems year after year.
Okay, so, thank you. I just have a few more people holding. I want to try to get them in. Just say your first name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Hotep to you and Hotep to the PFW listening audience. Listen, our problem with these police officers are really not with them. The policy itself is coming from those elites who are determined to reduce the population of black people. It's a genocidal program, and that the whole Black Lives Matter movement is absolutely going in the wrong direction. You don't go to the people that perpetrate the crimes against you to get justice and liberty. Justice and liberty comes with the black people who were the first people on the planet. Right. And if we do things for ourselves, we are beginning to solve all of the problems that we have.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I'm going to have to wrap up everything right now. And thanks for all those who called in. If you couldn't get in today, call back next week, and we'll be back on the air and taking calls. But for now, that'll do it for us today on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. I'm Esther Avaram, and I want to thank Chantel James for her reporting at the protest against King Salman of Saudi Arabia, and Brianna Rawlinson for her assistance with the Tuesday's reporting at the town hall. And also to my engineer for today, Gio Vucinella, making waves and making miracles. And thank you so much for listening and for supporting your station for Jazz and Justice. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by Krista Property on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. Peace. Thank you.